Hello. Welcome to Q&A with Perrier about calcium bentonite clay. I'm your hostess for today and here to answer your questions and help educate you about all the wonderful properties that clay and how it can help you in your health and your life and the life of your pets and your lawn and your plants. Clay is just helpful to everybody that uses it as far as I know. So I'm going to switch over here today and look at our Q&A page and see what we have coming in the way of questions. Andrea, George, and Riley, wow. Thank you for sharing your invaluable information. Do you know if clay could possibly be beneficial in the treatment of essential tremors? The symptoms are shaking similar to Parkinson's. It may be nerve-related. I don't know for certain. I have had people with Parkinson's tell me that their tremors lessened when they took the clay. And then they never got back with me to tell me if they went away entirely. But, you know, it's worth a try. And I certainly, it will not hurt you to try it. I would start drinking 2 ounces and build up to 3 or 4 ounces twice a day. And kind of see how it works for you. It's certainly not going to help hurt. It's going to help balance your whole body. It's going to help you in many, many other ways that you're not even aware of. It'll get rid of internal parasites. It enriches the red blood cells. It detoxes you from your mouth south all the way through your alimentary canal. It balances your pH, and for some reason the energy in the clay emanates through the body, even though the clay particle is not digested and doesn't go into the bloodstream. It still has some of its magical effects that no one has ever been able to scientifically explain yet how the energy of clay works, but it seems to get rid of the arthritic buildup in the joints, the deposits that make your joints knotty and crooked and hurt. So your hands and your knees and your joints don't hurt as much. And it takes about a month of taking it daily to get those results where the knots begin to shrink and go away. But you feel the release of pain right away. So if you try this, please let me know how you do it and if you notice any changes in your tremors. I would love to have that information. My friend Mary from Kansas. Hi, Perry. Someone I know has nasal polyps. Can bentonite clay help with that? If so, what would you recommend she do? Thank you. I would recommend that she gets a neti pot. And instead of the saline solution, use sterilized water. You can buy it. It's sort of like the eyewash solution that you use at the store, and put that in into that to. And the neti pot's pretty small, so let me break this down mentally as I'm talking. Generally, I put 1 ounce into a pint of water, which is 2 cups. You can do that and then keep that in a jar and then just pour that mixture into the neti pot as much as you need and use it, to clean out your sinuses and your head and see if that won't help those polyps. I can't help but believe that it wouldn't help, but it needs to be use a neti pot to get it up there and let it run through. So 1 ounce of the mixed liquid clay mix. So you want 1 ounce of the liquid clay mix added to 2 cups of a sterilized solution water. I guess you can use regular water because if anything's in it, the clay is going to clean it anyway. And use that. You won't be able to put 2 cups in a neti pot, so just fill what you need. And I would use it twice a day, morning and night. And let me know how she does with that. That's a good question. I've never had that one. Thank you. Nancy and Reno, Whenever I try bentonite clay, I become even more constipated than usual. How can I overcome that problem and keep things moving? I'm battling SIBO, and that's irritable bowel, severe irritable bowel syndrome as well. Okay, Nancy, let's get you over that hump. It's an easy solution. I will say that 20% of the people who take clay, their digestive system is out of balance and it causes constipation. The easy fix is magnesium oxide tablets. You can get them at the grocery store, or the pharmacy, any like CVS or things, anywhere that sells your natural health over-the-counter products. And you want the 250 milligram, and look on the back, the ingredient should say magnesium oxide, not magnesium caltrate, magnesium oxide. And you can take, you know, you'll have to take them and see what your maintenance level is going to be. I'm one of those people, and as long as I've taken clay, but I've been constipated all my life, and I'm sure by now my peristalsic muscles aren't working. So I take two at night, and then I take one in the morning, and that usually does it. Sometimes I need to cut them in half. You know, you can start with one and see if that works. If it doesn't, increase it. Find your happy place with them. Get the tablets, not the gel caps, because you want to cut them in half. You can cut them in half and take, you know, one and a half or two and a half, or find out what works for you. And it will help loosen those stools where you can go to the bathroom. It kind of oxygenates the stools. There's also a magnesium oxide powder that you can use, and I forgot the name right now. I'll have to look it up, and if I see your email address here, I'll email that to you, the name of it. And you just mix it in water and drink it, and it really works. And the clay, when you start taking it for your irritable bowel situation, you're going to have to be aggressive, and I want you to take, you know, start out with 2 ounces three times a day. Build up to 3 ounces, maybe even four. You can go more. I have one lady that took 8 ounces three times a day, had remarkable improvements with her gut. She had many things wrong with it, and there's a testimonial on the website about her study if you want to read it and look up liver, because I think it's under liver. She had liver problems, and she was putting poultice on her liver as well as on her lower stomach, and drinking the 8 ounces three times a day, and it cleared up everything she had wrong in her colon. So, yeah, get over that constipation with simple over-the-counter help there. Thank you. Okay, my friend Carol in Chicago. How much is too much clay per meal, powder, a teaspoon or a tablespoon? Well, you never want to eat the powder, but you want to use the powder to make the liquid. There really isn't a limit. I haven't found a limit. If a person is taking 8 ounces three times a day, they're taking a lot of spoonfuls, so I'd have to sit down and do the math to figure it out and break it down. But as far as I know, they say half your body weight or your dietary intake of clay, if you stay under half, you're fine. And I don't know how anybody can eat that many pounds of clay. It would be in the pounds. So I think you're good to go with however much you want to use per meal. Yeah, and I'm not sure if you're asking to, if you're cooking with it or what the situation here is. If when you say per meal, do you take it with a meal? So kind of give me some clarifications on that. Okay. Kathy in Toronto. How would you suggest using bentonite clay in a vegetable garden? Do you use the powder or add water? Thanks. If you're making a vegetable garden and start with a clean garden, I would use the powder, and I would use it generously. Maybe it depends on how big your bed is. We had a 6 or 8 foot bed at the church, and they put 50 pounds of clay in there with excellent mulch. They had gotten this excellent soil, and they mixed them together. And I think it was really too much. It didn't hurt anything, but 5 years later, you're still seeing the effects of that clay. You don't need that much. I would, if you have a pretty big bed, I would take a gallon of clay and sprinkle it on top and then turn it in with the soil. You want some good humus soil to turn it in with and do it that way. Now, for my pot plants and stuff, I take the liquid clay that I drink and I mix it with a little water and I pour it in when I water them. And I do that maybe once a month. So I hope that helps. If you could take a picture of how big your garden is and send it to me. I don't have your email address on here, so you'll have to email me. But let me know how big your garden is, and I'll be able to help you get it down to the right amount. But you'll definitely see an improvement. The two beds we did one with the clay at the church, and the other bed we did without the clay. And the one with the clay kicked booty every year, and it is still producing and greener and outgrowing the other bed. So definitely works. Thank you. Is it okay to put clay on an open wound, like a deep cut on my hand? Yes, ma'am, I did it. I stabbed myself with a knife trying to open, getting the plastic seal off a lid, and I didn't have my usual paring knife. I had a steak knife that was pointed and serrated, and I pushed hard, and it slipped, and the bottle slipped, and jabbed it right between my finger and my thumb, and it went in pretty deep, and it was just gushing blood. I took the powder clay and put on it and wrapped it real tight to stop the bleeding, and after the bleeding stopped and the wound sort of sealed, I think I left the powder clay on all night that night to try to help seal the wound. Once it stopped bleeding, and even if once it stopped bleeding, you can put the wet clay on there and wrap it up and just leave it on day and night and till it starts to heal over. Mine was in a difficult place, and normally it will seal the skin together rather quickly, but you use your thumb a whole lot, and I kept trying to open jars with that hand and forgetting, and I'd break it open, but it eventually healed, and it really stops the pain, and it will stop the bleeding on there. So when it's profusely bleeding, use the powder clay to stop the bleeding, and then mix the mask and put it on and just cover it. I'd kind of wrap it, depending on where it is, if it's on a knee joint or something like that where you flex it, you're going to have to keep it on and try to keep from bending it because it tends to break open. But it's wonderful on healing wounds. I have a testimony I want to share about a lady that had a diabetic ulcer on her foot, the biggest 50-cent piece. And it had, you could see the pus around it and the blood in the center. And they put the wrap on her, and in 2 weeks' time it was drying up, and the dead skin on her feet was getting dry and sloughing off. And in 45 days, it completely healed. It took all that dark wound out, filled in the gap, and the whole foot, and it took all the dead callousy skin off, because she kept the clay on her foot all the time, and that callousy skin peeled off, and her foot looked like a baby's foot when it healed. It was just soft and pink on the bottom. The blood flow was good, and it's wonderful for things like that. Thank you. Okay, there was one from Frederick, and I just punched it, and I missed it. So, Cheryl, if you can go by and get that one. Well, Carol is answering my question. She said, well, I'm trying to get my system going to use it with my meals, lunch and dinner, or maybe with liquid clay after meals. Thank you. You can take it any time. As long as you've been taking it, it's not going to hurt. You can take it after your meal or before your meal. If I'm going to eat something that I think might cause indigestion, something spicy and peppery, I want to drink some before and possibly some afterwards. So there's not a set time with clay. Just kind of go by your intuition. But I definitely do the liquid clay before and after. But don't worry about overdosing on clay. I think it's pretty much impossible. If you can drink 8 ounces 3 times a day and all it does is help your whole body and cure things, I think we're pretty safe to go. Probably you could take more than 8 ounces 3 times a day if you needed it. Okay. Thank you. Let's see if we could find Frederick again. I don't know if I'd click the one I was answering done or if I misread the answer, the name above it. Just want to make sure I did that. I had an interesting email today from a user of clay, and she was asking about clay for her dog, and I wanted to share this with you because this is what her vet suggested, and I love it that there are vets out there that are using clay. She said, right now I have a 45-pound dog who had a very high level of ELT, one of the liver enzyme tests. Everything else, chemical and physical, was fine. The vet had no clue but was wondering about poisoning. Besides the SAMI, the food, the vet suggested, I also add a dollop of clay mask to the food morning and night. I figured if it was toxins, clay was a good way to go. I've used the liquid or the mask with my dogs in the past, but not consistently. In conjunction with my animal communicator, we think the squeaky balls made in China were probably the source of any toxins. My pup would chew them into pieces in 5 minutes. I only continued because it was such a joy for him. I now have a wonderful non-toxic substitute from Planet Dog. 5 days later, it's still intact, still squeaks, bounces, and gives my dog much joy. Lab tests will be redone in a month, but I'm feeling they will be okay, and my dog seems brighter and lighter. She had also emailed me a while back and said her clay powder had a weird taste to it. And she said, quite a while ago I mentioned my clay powder had a weird taste. Solve the problem. So I could keep some in the bathroom for brushing teeth and packing. I kept it in a small plastic jar. I discovered from the writing on the bottom of the jar that I had used this jar for face cream while traveling. So many times we use little jars because we can't carry more than 4 ounces of liquid or things, you know, in our carry-on bag. So she had put some in there. Evidently, I never cleaned it thoroughly. I found remains of the cream along the screw lines. I cleaned it really, really well, replaced the powder, and no more problems since. If your clay picks up an odor, there's something causing it. It's either deodorizing something or some contaminant like the cream had gotten in there and affected the smell of the clay. The clay should be, you know, pretty much odorless to smell. So that's something to remember. Look for the culprit. And she did her detective work in both cases, and I just wanted to share that there are pet toys out there that aren't made in China, and hers came from Planet Dog, so you might check those out. They sound like they're pretty sturdy too. because I know some dogs can tear up things in one day. I have a grand dog that can do that. The little toys and chew rag dolls and things, he will get the squeaker out. He will keep on till he gets the squeaker out. So the clay is good for not only us, but for our pets as well and our plants, as we have discussed today. Let's see if we have any new questions coming in. Okay, I'm trying to get over to the control panel here. There is a new, a new format on my webinar, and this is the first time I've used it, so. Okay, I'm on the phone line and didn't know if anybody on the line had a question they'd like to ask. If you do, if you press star 2 on your phone, that will open your line and you can ask a question. And if not, I'm going to kind of go over some of the things about clay that new people, if you're new to listening in, you might be not be aware of. Clay is a volcanic ash, so it's the sterilized core of Mother Earth that's been birthed through a volcano. And in this process, it burned out all the impurities and left pure trace minerals that were energized from the heat of the volcano, and they were charged with a negative charge. The Earth has a negative charge. When they talk about grounding, there was a book recently about grounding and walking in the dirt and walking barefoot in the grass to get grounded because of the negative charge that's in the soil. And when you see lightning, that is when the atmospheric pressure is a strong positive and it's trying to ground itself, and that's when the lightning comes down and hits the earth. So they're trying to balance each other and get into a good balanced relation there of negative to positive. But the earth has a very strong negative charge, and this negative charge allows the clay to be a drawer to detox, to pull out the bad stuff. We don't know how it knows the good from the bad other than the electrical charge. So evidently the bad things that are in our body have a positive charge, and the clay, the way the particles are, they're very thin, microscopically thin layers, little flakes, and they have this negative charge on both sides of the flat surface. Now, when you hydrate the clay, those little layers separate, leaving a charged, negative charge between the layers, and the toxins come and flow through there, the positive ones, and they're drawn into the clay like a magnet, and they're held like a magnet tightly. And so when you put it in your mouth and you drink it, it goes through gathering up these toxins, these positive charge things that are detrimental to our body. How it knows the difference, I don't know, but it seems to know the difference. And it carries it out. It goes out with your poop. So it goes in one end and out the other, and it cleans house along the way. Now, it also has an energy to it. Clay is predominantly silica. Earth is silica. Sand and beaches are silica. Silica is very good for rebuilding bones and hair and teeth and things of that nature in the body. And silica is a crystal, so it holds energy. So we think a lot of the energy from this electromagnetic energy from the clay is also held in the silica. And I know for a fact, I have tested this on people, of putting it, I had two people that had a broken wrist, and they had a splint on. They were able to take the splint on, put clay all around their wrist, clay mud, all thickly all around the break area, and then tape it back up. And not only did it take the swelling out, but in time of doing that, you know, and they would put it on, leave it on all night, take it off, maybe leave it off for an hour and put it on for 3 or 4 hours and do this to keep it you know, you want to expose it to the air. It's like being in a swimming pool 24/7. So you want to let it dry out between times a little bit. But for several hours, 3 or 4 hours, three times a day, you want to play on there, and then you can sleep with it on at night. And the healing time of the broken bones was half what the normal healing time is. They were both, one of them went back to work, didn't go back to the doctor, went back to work driving a tractor and doing things in 3 weeks. The other one went back to the doctor in 4 weeks. He checked it, took the cast off, and x-rayed him, told him he was ready to go back to work doing whatever he was doing before. And he was a welder, and he made things, sculptures and spurs and bits. And so he was able to go back to work in 4 weeks. The old timers say you can put a bag of clay over the cast, over the break area, and it will speed the healing. Now, I don't know if they have a clay in a like a feed sack or a flower sack type bag, or if they have it in a plastic bag. I think it would be better in a tightly woven cloth bag, maybe a pillow slip or something like that, because the clay is very fine and it'll kind of drift through a softly knitted bag. But just lay it over the cast and speed the healing process. And I gave some clay to a doctor the other day because we'd had that test. I told you about the lady with the diabetic ulcer that was the size of about a 50-cent piece on her heel, and it healed in 45 days. And I showed it to him, and he said, you know, I've got some clients that have sores that won't heal. And I said, well, you try this on them. And I gave him the book and some mask and some dry clay and the directions for mixing it. And I'm hoping he will do this because it's, you know, so much amputation is unnecessary with clay. It's just a matter of putting the clay on there and giving it a chance before you decide to amputate. You know what? It's not going to hurt anything. It'll only help. So I don't know why there aren't. I'm just thrilled to know this lady's vet knew about clay and was recommending that she use clay. And, of course, she may have been the one that introduced him to the clay in the first place because she's been a long-time user of clay. So I'm going to go back over and see if we have any more questions in our Q&A. Okay, Frederick was the one about the cut on his hands. I just want to make sure I hadn't missed a question there. Cynthia in Los Angeles, when adding clays to recipes, specifically baked goods like cookies and bread, should you add the clay powder or the hydrated clay? Good question. Let me think on that a minute. When you get the, I think the hydrated clay would be the best bet because it's already expanded and has the water in it. And remember this when you're baking with clay. Clay is a thickening agent. It makes things thicker. So whatever you're doing, you may have to add a little more water to it because it will thicken it. But I would use the hydrated clay. And when you get it into the, I'm trying to think on breads and now pumpkin bread and, you know, breads like that, I can see adding the hydrated clay. You're making white bread or wheat bread. I don't know if it's ever in a consistency where you could get the hydrated clay to mix in. I don't know if the dough is ever that soft where you could work it in. You may have to experiment with that. But on things like pumpkin bread, carrot bread, zucchini breads, things like that, definitely use the hydrated. Let us know how they work out with you. There's some recipes in the book, and one of them is a health cookie that one lady, a lady named Jay, makes in there, and you can look at that and see how she did it if you have the book, or you can go onto the website bentoniteclayinfo.com and check our recipes out. There are lots of recipes there. I'm always adding a little, if I'm kind of making a roast, I want to sprinkle a little clay on there, like flour, to thicken the juice a little bit. But I throw it into a lot of things. I'm mixing when I get it at the creamy state. I just add a little clay. I'm trying to think of what I made the other day, and I had cream cheese in it, and I added the hydrated clay and mixed it in with the cream cheese, and then added that to whatever else I was making that day. I can't remember what it was right now. All right. Good questions. Thank you. I like the thought of cooking with clay, too. Sometimes it's on a week we can get it in our kids. Okay. Let's see. Lisa, Perry, could you give information about clay helping with shingles? Yes, ma'am. I wish I could put that on a website for the world. Suffering is optional with shingles with clay. The quicker you can get the clay on there, the faster it goes away. It will chase it into next year. It's very soothing when you put it on. It kind of heals those nerve endings. It does something to make that horrible pain go away, and it soothes the pain, and it will dry up the shingles, the blisters. So you want to put it on wet. If you can let it dry, good. If it's around you where you need to wear it under clothes, put your press and seal or your saran wrap over it to keep the wet clay there and put it on thickly. Then when you get home, take it off and put a thin layer on and let it dry, and because you want it to dry up those blisters, which it will either way, but it, you know, sometimes we have it on places where it's pretty easy, like on your face, to put it on during the day and just let it dry and rinse it off and put it on again. But if you have it all the way around your body or halfway around your body, it's difficult to do that and move and function during the day without getting the clay all over everything. So you'll just have to work with it like that. But the sooner you get it on there, the sooner it'll go away. I do believe I was getting a patch of it one day, and when I felt that stinging and it didn't go away and it was a light rash, I just put the clay on it and it went away. But from the pain associated with it, I believe it was the startup of shingles. Anyone that has the shingles, get the clay on there. And if they have an advanced stage and it's been a while, still use the clay. It will help. It takes away that horrible pain. My husband got it one summer in July, and it was all the way around his waist and halfway around the back. And the doctor told him, he said, "There's not much I can do. You hear some cream. It really won't help much, but go home and unload your guns. It's going to get worse before it gets better, and particularly in the summertime." And I didn't know about clay then. Wish I had. Could have saved him a lot of suffering. So shingles can be horrible, and there is a solution, and it's clay. Use the clay mask on there and dry that stuff up. And tell everybody you know there is a solution for shingles. Jill in Bloomington, can you address using clay to detox heavy metals from the body, specifically mercury and aluminum, from years of mandatory vaccines? Thank you. Yes, Jill. Clay baths are your best bet. To take a clay bath using, and if you know you have these heavy metals in high ratios, I would take a clay bath with 2 cups of clay. Now, you want to mix the clay into a liquid state before you add it to the bath water. If you try to sprinkle the powder clay over the bath water, you're going to have lumps. It won't get fully hydrated. Even if you try to take a whisk and whisk it out, there's too much water to do it. I've tried it. So in a blender, fill it half with water, put your 1 or 2 cups of clay, and fill it up to the top. Leave about an inch of space at the top. Blend it on high for 30 seconds. Carry it in and pour it into your bath water as you're filling the tub. Rinse your blender out. Get all the clay out of the blender and into the tub. Before you get into the tub, unscrew the blender blades and make sure you've washed them off. You don't want to leave clay in prolonged contact with metal. Now, the little metal around your tub isn't going to hurt. Get in the tub and get down in the water as low as you can get. I take a big cup, one of these plastic cups you get with a 32-ounce drink, and scoop the clay water up and pour it over my shoulders, my neck, my hair, my head, everywhere. You definitely want to get it under your arms, and you want to get all your lymph glands, you know, down in the water. And you stay in there as long as you can. I mean, you can stay in, you know, if it's real, real hot bath, they used to say do it in a hot bath. The purpose of the heat was to open the pores of your skin. But a good warm bath will open the pores of your skin, too. And if you get in a bath that's too hot, it may, you know, it's being like being in a hot tub. You can't stay in there for more than 15 minutes or you'll pass out. So, but the hot tub, too, remember this, maintains its heat. But I like to be on the safe side and have a good, good warm bath and get in and soak, and it will pull the toxins through the pores of your skin. Now, mercury tends to get deeply sequestered, and when you think you have it all out, keep taking the clay baths. Now, they recommend to take 2 clay baths a week for about 3 months and get rechecked. If you want to take a daily clay bath, you can. And I think after the first 4 baths using 2 cups, you can narrow down to 1 cup clay baths and just stay with it. But be rechecked in 3 months. Generally in 3 months, the heavy metals are out of your system. If you cannot get into a bath, the alternative is a foot bath, and those have been very successful for a lot of people. So mix your clay water like you're going to drink it. Have a pan, put some warm water in it or hot water in it. Pour the liquid clay over it enough. You want it to get above your ankles if you can. Cover your feet. There are 20,000 pores in the skin of your feet. So it's the second best way to detox, and I would do that. You know, just you can, once you mix it up, you can use it 2 or 3 times like this, and soak your feet, cover it between uses. It's hard to get. It's going to be cold the next time you use it. You might start warming your feet first. Or you could add a little hot, maybe a cup of hot water just to take it from being so cold to it and soak. And if you can stay in there 2 or 3 hours with your feet in there that long, or do it twice a day for a couple of hours, it's going to definitely make a difference. I've gotten some really good testimonials from people detoxing that have used that either didn't have a tub or weren't able to get into a tub. So one of those 2 deals, and get those toxins out of your system. It'll pull more than that. They'll pull some that you're not even aware of you have out. So, you know, for maintenance, I like to do a bath once or twice a month. It just feels so relaxing. There's nothing harmful about a bath. I've had people with migraine headaches say that they could get in a clay bath and the headache goes away. But just to get in and take a clay bath. I like to do mine at night because I'm so relaxed when I get out that I just sleep like a baby. And your skin feels soft when you get out. You don't need to rinse off. You just dry off, and you'll notice your skin feels baby soft. So get in there and start taking those clay baths and get those heavy metals out of your body. And it works on all the heavy metals, lead, mercury, cadmium, radiation, all these things. So, thank you. Will clay make a hernia shrink if placed on the skin? It depends on where the hernia is, and generally the hernia is in the stomach or abdomen area. And the unfortunate thing is every time you get up, you push your stomach out and you move it. And so it's not very successful at pulling that hernia together and holding it together because you're pretty much fighting against it all day. You can certainly try it. If it's a small one, it may help. And sometimes if it's one that's still tearing and it's painful, it'll help stop the painfulness. Put the clay mask on there thickly, cut a square of fat pest and seal over it. You can wear it under your clothes, change it two or three times during the day, leave it on all night. All night would be the best chance but remember, if it's on the stomach area, when you sit down, your stomach pushes out. When you get in, you push against your stomach. When you laugh, you stretch your stomach. We use our stomach more than we think we do. When you're walking, it works on your stomach. So it's, if you can catch it when it's small, they can go in just microscopically and put a patch in there and heal it, and you'll be good to go in a week or less. So good luck with that. Well, I don't see any more questions coming in. Let me go over to my conference line. And we've already gone over our 30 minutes, but so we've talked about these. Ah, here's a question. Hello, you're on the air. Is this Alma?
It's Alma.
Hello, Alma.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, you're on the air.
Would you just repeat again?
I can barely hear you, darling.
Okay. Can you repeat? Okay. I don't know what's going on. Can you hear me now?
Now I can hear you, yes.
Could you just briefly repeat about using the clay? Say if you break your wrist, just say that happens. And I imagine, you know, your first thought is get out the door and rush to the doctor or emergency room or whatever. But maybe there's a delay in doing that or being seen. So I imagine you would immediately slap some clay on there. And then after you end up at the doctor's, the clinic or whatever, and they put the cast on, I'm a little bit confused how you can continue to put the clay on a certain time of day. I mean, and I'm thinking too, say you broke your wrist. I mean, I even wonder, would it heal with the clay without it even being a cast on it? However, of course, maybe not the bones.
You want to make sure that the bones are realigned, you know.
Right.
You need
that's
to go to the doctor
thing.
And get an x-ray. If it's a clean break
right.
and the bones are together where they can put a splint or something like that, they have these splints with Velcro on them they can put on there and then have a sling where you hold your arm steady. And you can open those to take a shower and stuff. You just have to be careful. And those are the ones where you can wrap the clay mud around them and some saran wrap and put the sling back on and wear it. Now,
okay.
If you break your toe, definitely get the clay on there. If you stub your toe and break your toe, they can't really set your toe. Put the clay on there. The clay will try to help realign the bones. If it's a compound fracture, though, you really need to get it seen by a doctor and make sure they're not bits of bone flying around. They may have to do surgery where the bone is pretty much crushed and shattered. But if I were just, before I got to the doctor, I would definitely put clay on. Going to keep the swelling down, and I would put it
and
on
then,
thickly as I went to the doctor. Now, if I had a cast on, and when I talked to this doctor about the other day, he's a sports medicine doctor, I said, I've been wanting to connect with somebody and see about making cast with the clay and the plaster Paris. and you'd have to use less plaster of Paris, more clay, and probably more water, because, you know, you mix, they use clay and sand to make concrete. So you're going to have a pretty hardy cast on there. But if you can mix it in there with the plaster of Paris, I think it would speed the healing on a lot of these people who have casts on. So I've just been wanting to have someone that knows about making cast be willing to experiment with making a cast of clay. Now, when the Bruelli ulcer broke out in Africa, and this Bruelli is a flesh-eating bacteria, you can search for it, and they used clay cast, and they would put the clay real thickly around and mold it like a cast. I mean, these children would have just their muscles eaten away on their legs, and nothing could stop it. It was like the flesh-eating bacteria. And they would leave these casts on there, and it would heal from the inside out, and the flesh would come back and fill out, just like it did on this lady's foot that had that big bone hole in her foot with this ulcer on there. It ate all the dead stuff out, or it lifted it out, and it filled in the flesh underneath it. It didn't leave a hole in her foot. So,
Perry, you know, Comfrey has the same reputation. You've heard of that, you know, that I think it might be the nickname is Knit Bone. And I'm thinking, wow, if you were to mix a poultice with clay and comfrey, you would really have a double whammy of a powerhouse.
Wow, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah,
well, play with it and find, you know, just experiment.
Well, I hope I don't have any. I hope
was,
I don't have any wounds or anything to experiment with, but, you know, just saying.
There was one lady that had a little ground squirrel, and she's a rescue lady, and she was nurturing it, and she took it out to play in the grass one day, and a neighbor drove by and drove up and didn't see it, and she accidentally, trying to get it out of the way, stepped on it and broke its little hind leg. It was just dangling. And she would just dip the whole leg in clay and put this little ground squirrel over in the corner. I don't know if it's a ground squirrel or something else. Their testimonial and some pictures are on the website under pets. And she would dip it in the clay and dip it in the clay where it made like a little cast and set it in the corner with some food and water where it didn't have to move around. And within a week, she said that it was climbing the cage.
My goodness, but the little leg wasn't even set? She didn't, like, do a miniature little splint on it even? Or
no, it was too tiny. It was just a, you know, small animal. She just dipped it in the clay. And clay has been known to realign spines, people that have a disc, a slip disc, because when it takes the inflammation out and it wants to realign it, it allows the disc to go back into place. So, and there was a lady that had cracked her eye, broken her eye socket, and they put clay on it, and it healed it, and it seemed to get the bones, because she can feel it now, and it's smooth afterwards, after it healed. She could feel it and could tell there weren't, you know, couldn't feel the crushed bone underneath there. So it must have realigned it and healed it somehow or another. Just one of the mysteries about the clay. There's so many mysteries about it. But it's all helpful.
Tell me one more time, if you had, the broken wrist and you had the splint, and, you know, how long would you leave the clay on, maybe overnight, and put the splint on in the morning, or?
No, they put the clay on, wrap it in saran wrap, and put the splint back on over that.
Oh, okay.
You're just keeping
then,
the saran wrap on there to keep the clay from getting all over the inside of the splint.
Right. And about how long at a time, many hours at a time, would you leave that clay on there?
Left it on all night, and I had another guy that he put it on three times a day for 3 to 4 hours. If you go to Bentonite Clay Info under injuries and broken bones, there are two broken wrists on there. And he tells you how he did his. He went to the he did it with a fall on a horse, and he drove himself. He lived in Montana or somewhere, Wyoming, and out in the boonies, and went into the local hospital, and they put a splint on him and told him he needed to go make an appointment, go to the doctor in the big city and get a cast put on it. Well, he went back home and opened the splint and put clay on it. He'd put it on at night, and he'd change it two or three times during the day. And he said in 3 weeks he was back to shifting gears on a tractor, and in 4 weeks he had to shoe a horse for a barrel race fraternity that had thrown a shoe, and he was able to do that. So the other one didn't get his go back to the doctor and get it checked, so we don't know at what stage it healed. We just know in 4 weeks the doctor dismissed him.
I know you mentioned this before. This kind of makes me think, too, if you have some kind of problem in your mouth, gum or even a broken tooth or something like that, I imagine putting the clay along the gum line would really help that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I imagine it would, too.
Okay.
I don't know, you know, if the nerve in the tooth has been damaged or not would be the tricky thing, but you could certainly try, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
thank you for that.
That's and comfy. So you say mixing the clay with comfrey would make it kind of...
A comfrey because... comfrey leaf. Comfrey. And comfrey has, I think the nickname of that is knit bone, K-N-I-T. Bone, knit bone. I mean, it has a reputation for really refilling wounds and even bones, and it's, you know, just as powerful as clay. And I was saying, if you were to mix the two into a poultice, the comfrey leaf and the clay. I mean, it would be like a powerhouse, really. It would.
Yeah, sure would. Thank you for that information.
Okay.
Enjoyed talking to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I have to be careful not to hang up the phone when I say goodbye. Mary, are you on the air? Hello?
Yes.
Did you have your hand raised?
No, I don't think I did.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. I thought you did, and I clicked on it.
Well, that's
okay.
All right. It was nice to just be able to say hello, Ben.
Yes, and hear your voice. Mary
yes.
is one of my prayer partners, and she's a wonderful lady and has beautiful prayers all over the Internet. If you get on, it's Mary Law. Is that your Facebook name?
It is, yes.
You just see the most beautiful prayers, and she's a wonderful person, and I'm just so glad to have her as a loyal Clay supporter.
Thank you for being with us and listening in. Thank you. I appreciate it so much.
Okay. Bye. I'm going to slip over here and see if we have any more questions that have come in while we were talking. No more questions, so I'm going to call this a day. It's a wonderful spring day in Texas. We're on the verge of getting summertime weather here, and flowers are blooming in time for Easter, and Easter is coming. And let's remember the season and be joyful and look for something good today. Go out and plant a positive seed. Thank you for listening in. This is Perrier signing out.